Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
When we go to Matthew chapter 6, we have an admonition to not become anxious or worried. There's a lot of stuff going on that could really cause some anxiety and some worry in the days that we're living in. We'll start with verse 25. Verse 25, in essence, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, says, "So I tell you, don't worry, don't worry." And so that's the first admonition, and we'll read a few verses after that, but don't worry. Then there's another verse that challenges us to trust God and to not have fear. So verse 25, "So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life." So everyday life is brought up. Don't worry about everyday life. What's everyday life? Well, that's exactly what in North Carolina a lot of people don't have today, and I'm hearing months maybe before power. Can you imagine living months without power? Many of them do not have cell service or phone service or any way of even reaching out and connecting with other people. And so we have people right now that are dealing with this. Even in our own state, if you saw some of the pictures of the other coast where the eye of the storm came in, there's blocks where along the ocean everything's gone. I mean, it just like cleaned everything out. And so we're living in a different day. And I know some people would say, well, you know, the earth has gone through times and, you know, it's global warming and it's this and it's that. We need to just recognize what it is. Sin has negatively impacted our planet. It has negatively impacted the nations. It negatively has impacted every aspect from the animal kingdom to all of our own life. Sin has risen to a level where it is bringing destruction upon our land. And so we are living in different days. These are different days. And repeatedly you will hear, I have heard, even in the news where they're saying, well, we're not sure it's ever been quite like this. That even this storm now that's coming in, I just heard, this is an unusual way for a storm to cut across the way this storm is coming. And I'm hearing more and more often those words, it has never been like this before. Well, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about Israel some as well. And let me tell you, Israel has never been where they are right now. And whether or not there's a World War III or whether or not there's a Psalm 83, whether or not all those nations will split apart and whether or not some nations will have the evil push back, we haven't seen that yet. But we do know that it's coming, and it could come today while we're sitting here in church. It could actually happen where the big move would take place. The question is whether or not all of those nations will come into agreement with each other to attack Israel at this time, or if some of the nations will split off, and this will just involve a few of the nations. But the word, as we saw in Matthew 24, admonishes us to not be fearful when we see these things happening, because Jesus said, I'm telling you way in advance. Here we are a couple thousand years later, and we're seeing these things. And so we are not being caught off guard. This is like the rapture. The scripture says that, you know, when the Lord returns, that one's going to be working, two will be working, one will be taken, one will be left, they'll be at the mill, one's taken, one's left. And we look at that, and as a boy, I was thinking, boy, everyone's going to be shocked when the Lord comes back. But we're not going to be shocked. The church is not to be shocked. We are to be those who are awake and recognize that these are the very days that Jesus said would come. So do not worry. Don't worry about everyday life having to do with food, drink, and clothes. Those are the things we look at and we think about. So do not worry about those things. And verse 26, and why worry? So do not worry. And then the question is raised, why worry? In other words, what is it going to accomplish if we simply worry? And so the admonition is, don't do it. But then the question is, why would you? And as believers, let me ask you that question this morning. Why should any of us worry about the news that we hear right now? Because really, what can you change on the global stage? What can you change about the banking system? Whether or not we're going to go to bitcoins, whether or not the global economy is going to morph into one. We already know it's coming. We're aware of that. And so worrying will not change things. We need wisdom from God to know how to prepare ourselves as best as we can. But the question is, why worry? Don't worry about your clothing or your food or these things. And it's prudent to make some preparation. We live in a state that has a lot of storms, and it's prudent to have some food to back up your family's needs. It's prudent to have water and some basic supplies. But we're not doing that because we're afraid we're going to die because the whole world is out of control. We're doing that because we're good stewards. And we know that's wisdom. And that's part of good planning. There's nothing wrong with that. But the point is, we are not going to stay awake all night worrying about what's going on because our Father's got it. And He's also got us. And so the Word encourages us to just ask the question when we catch ourselves worrying, what good is this doing? What good is this doing? Because we already know that worry is one of the major issues that impacts physical health. It impacts our digestion. It impacts our rest. It impacts our mental health. It impacts our entire body. Worry is a destroying, destructive tool of the devil. And so what is the opposite to fear? Because worry is the result of a spirit of fear. And the Word says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So power, love, and a sound mind is not based upon what we can do apart from God, but it's based upon what God can do when we put our trust in Him. And so why worry about your clothes? And then we're to look at the lilies, how they grow. They don't work. They don't make their clothing. Yet Solomon, all of his glory, was not dressed as they are. And so God says, look around, look around. We had a friend, Gary, Gary the painter. I know Eric Laurie, you know Gary. And Gary is an interesting guy, military background, and he didn't really trust the government a whole lot. So some people would probably say he was a little out there. But we had a hurricane coming through. And I said, Gary, why don't you stay in the church? That's when we had a, you know, cement block building, poured walls and such forth. And Gary said, man, that's not safe. I'm not going to stay in there. I said, what are you talking about, Gary? He said, well, have you ever noticed that even during the eye of a hurricane that the birds will sing? Have you ever walked out? It's so quiet. It's like there's nothing around. All of a sudden, you hear birds start singing in the middle of the eye of a hurricane. And have you ever noticed that after the worst storm that the birds are singing? And they show up on the branches. I've noticed this. Gary said, isn't that what the Word of God says? To look around you at natural things that God created that doesn't have man trying to orchestrate and organize and manage all of it. The wildlife is not looking to man to figure out how to survive. And so Gary said, I'm going to go in the woods. I'm going to set my tent up. I said, it's a hurricane. He said, yeah, I know. I'm going to be in the woods. I'm going to set my tent up, and I'm going to be in with the palmetto bushes, and I'm going to be perfectly fine. And so we all were inside listening to the shutters bang and everything go on and what's happening, you know, during the night. And Gary's out sleeping in his tent. And the next day he said, hey, I'm perfectly fine. And I'm not recommending that you go sleep in a tent. I'm just saying that God may guide us differently. And we don't need to judge each other in how we prepare for these end days and what the Lord puts on one person's heart. I have friends that went to the mountain 20-some years ago and bought land and put food storage in and brought generators in and brought in all kinds of backup fuel so there would be food and there would be protection and there would be safety and there would be power generated by streams and things would be taken care of during a time if everything went down. Well, God didn't direct me to do that, but God directed them to do that. And I remember thinking, well, that's kind of silly. Nobody's doing that. There was nothing going on in the nation at that time, and yet they were led of the Lord to do it. And so I want to encourage you to be led of the Holy Spirit, to not judge someone else that may not see it just like you do, but together, let us be obedient to God, because I believe the Lord will give us wisdom as a family. So as a family, we can minister to one another up until the time when Jesus comes. And I believe we need to be aware of the fact that these are the days when we really need to be ready for that. So why worry about your clothes? The question is raised. And then in verse 31, so don't worry. That's the bottom of that point. Don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? And then this is the word. Your heavenly Father, our heavenly Father, already knows all your needs, and He will give you all you need from day to day. Day to day. You remember that when the manna was falling, remember how it fell? Every day except before the Sabbath, they could gather 2 days. One day out of the week, they could gather 2 days. But otherwise, it was daily. It came and God provided. You remember how the Lord's Prayer is. Give us this day our what? What kind of bread? Monthly bread? Annual bread? Daily bread. Daily bread. What is this all about? God, I'm more comfortable if I have, you know, a little reserve. If I have a 6-month reserve, I have a 1-year reserve. Well, nothing wrong with a reserve as long as you are trusting the Father for it to be available on a daily basis. Because if the government came in or neighbors came in or somebody else came in and you had huge hoards of all kinds of stuff, in this world, we really need to trust God. Because in this world, some might have bags of silver hidden away. Or as one sister that was in our church a few years ago, she'd been buying gold all through her days as a school teacher. She'd been buying gold when it was down, and one day came, she decided, I'm going to buy myself a new house. And it just so happened gold prices were really high. She took her gold in, paid cash for a brand new house, bought a brand new car, had money left over, and traded all that in. But she said, God is my provider. She said, it could have all been stolen, and I wouldn't have had anything. She said, God would have still taken care of me. And I don't know if any of you have had medical conditions or financial conditions or family conditions where you have faced stress and pressure that maybe drained you financially. Maybe crises came into your life. My wife and I, we have. When we had accidents and things happened, it seriously affected our income and our expenses. I remember they were coming out to repossess our car. And we had taken out a 5-year loan on this Grand Am Pontiac. We had one payment left on it when the accident came, and I did not have the money to make the payment on the car, and they were coming to repossess the car, and I had one little payment left. I had made all those payments out of 5 years, you know, made those payments, and of course the bank was coming. We would hide it in the garage and say, Lord, please, how are you going to take care of us? And then it was the house, and they were threatening to repossess the house and foreclose on it, repossess the car and foreclose on the house. And I remember one day in prayer, as I was in prayer, the Father just really clearly spoke to me and said, where did you live before you were in this house? And I said, well, we were down on Phillip Bend, or we were out, I guess at that time, we were out on island in a little trailer. And He said, well, did I take care of you there? Yes, you were taking care of us. What did you drive before you drove this car, this nice blue Grand Am Pontiac? What did you drive? And, oh, yes, well, we had a little Mercury Bobcat, and, you know, we had a truck and different things. And the Father said to me, I always have taken care of you, and I'm going to take care of you now. Well, we didn't lose our house, and they didn't repossess the car. We ended up giving the car to Rachel's parents, and they drove it for a number of years. We still live in the same house. God took care of us. And there were days when I would get up in the morning and the enemy would tell me, you can't even remember anybody's name. You can't do anything. How are you ever going to speak? How are you ever going to survive? Your wife would be better without you. And maybe some of you have lived through some tough times. But the point is, we are in those times. They're not coming, we're in them. We're living in a wicked generation. We're living in a day when the dollar could be gone tomorrow. We're living in a day where we cannot trust our government. We're living in a day when we cannot trust the medical science that's being pushed out to us because there's other controlling factors. But we have the peace of God that passeth all understanding in our lives. Well, we're going to continue to love our kids, raise our kids to know the Lord. We're going to continue to build the church, have a place for a new generation to step in and worship God. They may be louder. They may move faster. They may have some newer songs. I don't know what they're going to do, but, you know, the younger kids, I look at David and Andrew, and I look at my boys and Josh, and I look at Michael Hennessy, and I look at Branovan and Katie. I look at our younger people, and I know that God is raising up with our children a mighty army that is able to continue to carry our faith. So if Jesus tarries, our faith is not over. If the world gets darker, it's not over. You haven't wasted anything. Out of our 38 years, I don't feel like we wasted any of those years. We went through some tough times, a lot of times where it looked like we wouldn't survive even another week, paying the bills and just having food and stuff to eat. But God has always taken care of us, so we must trust Him. Must trust Him. God is faithful. So our Heavenly Father knows our needs. He knows our needs. He will give you what you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So you have the King James. It simply says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. And so that's God's promise. That's God's promise. And we can stand on that because it is definitely true. In Habakkuk chapter 3, and I'm not going to turn there, but I'll give you the reference, Habakkuk 3, verse 2, the prophet says this in essence. He said, I have heard the reports. He's looking back. He's thinking about all the reports we have about God. I've heard the reports. And then he said, I stand in awe of your deeds, of what you've done, what I've seen you do. And then this is his prayer, repeat them or restore them again in our day. And so this morning on this anniversary day, I want to just say that that's the prayer of my heart. Father, we know what your word says you did in the past, and we could stand up and testify what God has done in our lives already. But my prayer is that God restore and again work as he did in the early church, work as he did with the prophets, work in our church, work in the church, work in this generation, just like he has in times past. And so I want to take you to some scriptures that I have literally been chewing on probably for the last at least a year. And I believe they're relevant for where we are. And I believe that the Word of God gives us proof text that in these days, in the end time, God will again restore the miraculous on the same level that He has worked in the past. I want to show you some scriptures. I want to start by taking you to Malachi. All right, Malachi chapter 3. And so I want you to look at this with me, because in this chapter, Israel, this is the last book in the Old Testament. And in this book, Israel is saying, what good is it to serve God? I mean, the question is actually raised here, where God says, you have said horrible things, terrible things about me. I mean, this is God's report on what's going on. In verse 13 of Malachi 3, you have said terrible things about me, says the Lord. Well, they were complaining. They were complaining that they were dealing with a lot of stuff, and they were doing a lot of things, religious things, or out of some desire to sort of manipulate God's goodness, but their heart wasn't really in it. And so they're praying this prayer. God is saying, you have said terrible things about me. But you say, what do you mean? How have we spoken against you? And in verse 14, you have said, God's going to tell them exactly what they've said. You have said, Israel, what's the use of serving God? Now, if you haven't heard the devil say that to you, then you don't have spiritual ears. Because I guarantee you, everyone who is a child of God has heard the devil say, what is the use of serving God? This is a lie that the devil has told every generation as soon as things are a little rough. And that's what they were saying. So when the enemy says to you, well, what's the use of serving God? How are you better off than anybody else? When that thought comes to you, you need to recognize that as a lie from the devil and say, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. And your song, God is Good, is a good song to go to and say, in the midst of the storm, I'm going to raise my hands. I'm going to praise you, Lord, because you are dependable and trustworthy. And I am going to give you praise regardless of what I understand or don't understand. But Israel's saying, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying His commands or trying to show the Lord Almighty that we're sorry for our sins? Let me tell you another one the devil will tell you. Why do you give to God? Why are you a tither? Look, your engine just blew up. You just got a flat tire. Something else happened. Some kind of a financial attack. Whenever you're under financial attack, and all of us will come under some type of financial attack. And when you're there, the devil's going to say, well, if you hadn't given your tithe last week, you would have money to pay for this right now. And sometimes, while we were coming to church, I was aware of the fact I'm not going to be able to replace that battery if I pay my tithe. And I had to make a decision. Do I pay my tithe? Do I honor God first? Or do I take care of myself first? The question is, are we going to trust ourselves to take care of ourselves? Are you going to trust the government? Are you going to trust your neighbors? Or are you going to trust in God? Who are you going to trust? This is really where we're living today, where we need to say, I trust in God. I trust in God. And so, yeah, this is what they were going through. From now on, we will say, blessed are the arrogant. This is what the people are saying. Basically, they're saying, we're going to say, blessed are the wicked because they seem to get by with everything. That's God's mercy on the unjust. For those who do evil get rich. Those who dare God to punish them, they seem to go on free of harm. Then, verse 16, I want you to see verse 16. Look at it. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other. The righteous begin to testify one to another. They begin to share one with another. They're speaking one with another. And the Lord listened to what they had to say. And in His presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared Him. When all hell was manifesting and things are coming apart, the righteous got together and began to stir up each other's faith. That's where we need to be living right now. We need to be stirring up faith in one another because we are all being shot at. If you don't recognize it, then maybe the Lord is putting a shield over your spiritual eyes, but all of us are being shot at by the enemy right now. We are going through valleys of great attack in the body of Christ. And so those righteous got together, they're sharing their testimonies, encouraging one another, and the Lord made a record, wrote down all of their names, those who feared Him and loved to think about Him. They will be my people, says the Lord Almighty. And on the day when I act, and God's getting ready to act, right now we see a lot of garbage. We see a lot of wickedness acting on the world stage, but God is getting ready to act, and He will. And He's saying, on the day when I act, they will be my own special treasure. Who? Those who are thinking about the Lord, who are trusting the Lord. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient and dutiful child. And now we come to verse 18, and this is a proof text. It's one of those I'm going to share with you this morning. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked. Oh, I'm going to give you another lie of the enemy. As a righteous person, you have just as much sickness as the unrighteous. As a righteous person, your car needs fuel just like everybody else's. As a righteous person, your kids are needing a lot of prayer. Your grandchildren are under a great attack. Your family is under great attack, just like the unrighteous. God is saying prophetically, and I'm going to take you to another proof text, that the day is coming in the end time where God is going to say, once again, I am going to show up, I'm going to act on your behalf, and there is going to be a clear difference between the righteous and the wicked. You see, what we may not understand is, if you remember the story of the farmer who went out and sowed the seeds, and then there was an enemy that came at night and sowed the tares. You remember that parable that Jesus gave? And Jesus said, let them grow together. We have been living in those days where they're both growing together. And so both may look alike. You may see righteous and unrighteous where it looks like there's not a great distinction. But if you remember that story, the rest of that story that Jesus gives is at the end when the harvest comes in, those who are righteous will be saved, and that which is the chaff and the weeds, they will be burned in a fire. There will be a separation. God is getting ready to act. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Now turn over to Zechariah. We're looking at end time things that are getting ready to happen. Chapter 14 of Zechariah. Watch, for the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. When your possessions will be plundered right in front of you, on that day I will gather all the nations to fight against Jerusalem. This is coming. The city will be taken, the houses will be plundered, and the women raped. Half the population will be taken away into captivity. Half will be left among the ruins of the city. There's still a lot of war that's going to be happening in Israel. Then the Lord will go out to fight against, what does it say? Those nations. This is not one nation coming against Israel. It's not four kings coming against Israel. It's what Matthew, Jesus said, the day's going to come when all the nations are going to rise up against Israel. And it also says that the gospel will go to all nations, but the righteous will be hated by all nations. We're living in this kind of a time. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as He has fought in times past. On that day, you see, I want you to understand, this is the end time. On that day, His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. This is not the rapture. This is the second coming where Jesus comes back to the Mount of Olives. If you remember when Jesus ascended into heaven and the disciples are standing there, they're looking up. They're like, wow, you know, they're just watching. And the angel said, why are you standing here gazing into the heavens? Because this same Jesus will return in like manner. Jesus, the angels are saying, He's going to come back right here where He's taken up. Jesus did not finish His work the first time. He's coming back to finish what needs to be done. And He is coming. This is His promise. His feet will come on that day. His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives is going to split in half. There's going to be a great split in the earth, making a wide valley running from east to west. For half the mountain will move toward the north, half toward the south. You will flee through this valley, for it will reach across Azel. Yes, you will flee as you did from the earthquake in the days of King Uzziah and Judah. Then the Lord will come. Then the Lord will come. And who's coming with Him? All His holy ones with Him. Let me tell you, we need to understand that everything in the Word of God will come to pass, and it is coming to pass right now. We are seeing this in our day. On that day, the sources of light will no longer shine. Yet there will be continuous day, miraculous things in the heavens. Only the Lord knows how this could happen. There will be no normal day or night or evening time. It will still be light. And on that day, life-giving waters will flow out from Jerusalem. I was blessed to go on a private tour beyond Wilson's Arch, back in under the upper levels of Temple Mount, where they had opened up a hole down to the bedrock, and they had light shining into that rock. And as we stood there, they showed us that the mountain was already cracking, and the water is already flowing. And to stand there at that moment and read this in Zechariah, that God said this is going to happen. And the Israelis know it. The Hasidic, they know it. They know that God is on the move again. And right now, the mountain is being moved. Oh, it's going to split wide open. And all this is going to happen. It's coming. And half will flow toward the Dead Sea, half toward the Mediterranean, flowing continuously in summer and in the winter. These are things to come.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that You are Christ, the Son of the living God, that You died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with Your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com.